I think I was in my office one day. I just remember something just came to my mind, and I just scribbled that thing down. How Christians get results, or how they are supposed to. That would have been more like it, but I want to just say how they get results. Because anything outside that is not Christianity. There is a problem we have in the world today. And the problem is that most of the people we call successful, all right, are not believers. Who's the richest man in the world? Bill Gates. Ask Bill Gates about God, he's not sure he exists. Are you getting my point? His father is a Christian. His father is a minister, I think. All right? But he's not so sure that... in fact, somebody quoted, I don't know whether it's accurate or not, that Bill Gates said that it's only a man that doesn't have something to do that goes to church on Sundays. In fact, he called you jobless for being here this morning. But he'll write a book with David. Why? He's worth $40 billion. Are you getting the point I'm making here? Most of the people we call successful, they are not believers. But we lie to ourselves sometimes, said nothing is as important as results. But really, it's not true. How you get results is more important than the results. Read Psalm 1 it. David said, open to me the gates of righteousness. He said, the righteous enter by it. That is, there are different ways you enter places. And Jesus explained in Matthew chapter 7, he said, what you get after entering is determined by where you enter through. So he entered by the narrow gate, he said. He said, because broad is the one that will give you destruction. He said, many enter by that. Are you getting my point? So with God, how you get results is more important than the results. More important, the day of judgment. Paul said, there are works. Then we set them on fire. Let's see the one that will burn. Are you getting my point? He said, how you build, Paul said, be careful. It's how you build that matters with God. Do you know the reason? Because with God, results belong to him. Your job is whether you are planting or watering. He said, it is God that giveth the increase. So God never rewards you for increase. He rewards you for planting and for watering. Because it is not you. It is not you. It is God. But please plant. I will reward you for planting. Please water, I reward you for watering. As for the increase, it is me, God, that gives it. So it's important that Christians learn how God expects them to what? Get results. Are you following my point? So a lot of things that we learn, there's something I want to explain to some of us. I said something recently. I said the world works. We say in church, the world works, which is correct. But the confusion, again, is that the world also works. What do I mean? God cursed Adam and said, from toil you will eat bread. That is, you can toil and eat bread. Bread is not the sign that you are blessed. It's how you got it. That's the difference. So toil works also. But is that the principle that a believer is supposed to use? The answer is no. Most of the time we are learning things, we are learning the world working. Are you following my point? And we think the proof is that they got two results. No, that's not the point. God said clearly to Adam, you will eat bread, but by toil, from sweat. That was a curse. Listen to me. Christians sometimes build... let me say it like this. We are trying to build life. We learn principles that were designed for people working under a curse. When we talk about the principles of effective men, some of them rise up very early. God said it is vain. He said you have to work, be diligent, work till late. God said it is vain. He said because it's a principle that works in the life of the person you have blessed, even while he sleeps. You are getting the point. So you must be careful when you are reading to chew the grass and spit out the sticks. He said, that's how Malu does it. Cow. Give him anything with you, but when he feels stick, even my son, being as a small rich, put anything in his mouth, you eat. After some time, the bone is coming out. the fish has gone down. He'll give you back the bone, take. We must learn not to swallow bone. That is how the world gets results. Please don't forget, they get results. But there is a principle that the believer is supposed to use. Are you getting my point? And that's what I'm sharing with us this morning. How are you supposed to get results? And that's what I want to discuss. There's something the Bible says in, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Let's just read that. The book of Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Having read the scriptures a bit, I have come to learn some things in life. I was sharing some with some people yesterday. And let me share it with you again. Since I was in university, I've heard things like, what's the problem with the black man? Have you heard that expression before? Because you look around, the black man seems to have a problem everywhere he goes. The only reason why South Africa is still stable is because Mandela and his brother, the younger brother, the guy who's in charge now, Thabo Mbeki, they were very wise. They didn't drive away the white man. The moment Zimbabwe, what's his name? Remind me, why am I forgetting these guys? Yes, Robert Mugabe decided to send the white man away, either functionally or anatomically. they went into problems. 10,000% inflation per annum. Say, oh, why? It's because no, white man is not sabotaging him. It's because the black man really has a problem. For a long time, I thought, no, it's just coincidence. No, I have read the Bible and I found out why. Noah looked at Ham and cursed Ham. Moses reported the one that concerned him, cursed be Canaan. Actually, there were other children of Ham, Mizraim and Cush, the ancestors of the black man. They were also cursed by Noah. And he said, a servant of servants they will be. He said, maybe go to places like America. Blacks are doing well. Yes, they entertain the whites. I'm telling you the truth. There's a reason why I'm saying. After I studied and I was teaching from Genesis, I understood the reason. Noah is the source of the problems. No, I'm serious. This is not a joke. He said, cursed be Canaan. I read it. Moses only wrote that because it concerned him to explain to the children of Israel why they were taking the land of Canaan. You know, they went to take the land from Canaan. Because, for a long time, I asked myself the question, why did Ham sin? And Noah said, cursed be Canaan. Then one day, the Holy Spirit said, look. Then I discovered that actually what happened is that Moses was right. If you read Genesis from Genesis chapter 1 down to the end, you will find that Moses, that is all the ones that when Moses was composing it, he was trying to trace the line down from Adam down to where they were. That's how you will know that Abraham was not the only person God ever called. He was just the one that God called to bring Jesus Christ to the earth. God blessed many other people. Their records are not important. So, of all the children of Noah, the one that concerned Moses at that time was Canaan, his grandson, because they were about to take the land of Canaan. But the curse was not only upon Canaan. It was upon Mizraim. It was upon Cush, because it was Ham that sinned. Then I realized it. It's not a matter of chance that they took the black man as slaves, because he said, a servant of servants shall he be. As a matter of fact, black man get problem. It is spiritual. It's not a matter of, look, I was relating to the other day, I was watching my Barack Obama talk. He said, now I've proven to you that I'm a black man. Why? He came 10 minutes late for where he was supposed to talk. So it turned into a joke. He said, at least now you guys are sure I'm black. It dawned on me that even in America, they know that if you're talking about indiscipline with time, it's with the black man. Listen, my brother. Listen, my sister. It's spiritual. Well, you see, this is the beauty about Jesus Christ. It is a gospel. It is what? A gospel. Good news, which is what I have brought. He said, every ordinance, every decree written against the black man in Christ Jesus, they have been washed away. They have been cleaned. Therefore, I discovered I have an assignment in life to demonstrate his excellencies so that the white man might know that the black man doesn't have any problem as long as he's of faith in Christ Jesus. That is why I swore by Almighty God
I will never beg a white man for anything, including his visa. I won't sweep your gutter because I hear that the dollar has high value. God forbid. Right here in Nigeria, I am a lecturer. I have taught more than 600 medical students pathology. I have taught the word of God and have transformed lives. Every day, people, they consider it a favor for me to shake their hands. I won't sweep your gutter for nothing. I won't. I am a blessed man. And blessings are counted not by what you ate or what you wore or what you drove, but what you gave. What did you do to your generation? Are you getting my point? That's why I count blessings. How many lives am I imparting? I was teaching yesterday about the Ministry of Wealth. Listen, you know what? You were saying something just now. This is how wealth is, ministry. And that's how you know you are stepping to wealth. When Pastor Etel wants to talk, say, Pastor Etel, stop embarrassing us. How much did you say? That is an anointing. The way I preach and you get to understand it, some people are anointed to solve problems with cash. It's an anointing. It's not struggles. It's not struggles. And those are among the things I'm teaching. It's not struggles. It's for you to open your eyes, open your heart, most importantly, and let God pour his spirit into it. Let us get it clear. The problem of the black man originally is spiritual. Noah said to him, a servant of servants you will be. But Jesus Christ said, right now, there is no longer any distinction between Jew or Gentile. The same God is rich unto all that call upon him. He said, there is no difference. There's an assignment for every child of God in life to prove that for the earth to see. Yes, sir. You remember what he said about Issachar? He said, Issachar is a strong donkey. Lying down between the sheepfold, said when he saw that the resting place was good, and the guy said he bent his back to bear the burdens and became what? A slave is a curse. And that's how Satan keeps people in bondage. He entices you small. Listen, I'm preaching this morning to let you know that God wants to, look, he wants to demonstrate for the earth to see that Jesus did not die in vain. I like one thing my pastor said in Lagos once. He said, when Jesus was crucified, everybody saw it. When he rose up from the dead, only the disciples saw it. He said, God was saying, in effect, you guys, go out and let your lives prove that indeed he rose from the dead. That was why he appeared to his disciples. After that, he went away. That if you guys don't show that I'm risen, then the world will never believe it. That in a black nation, listen, I am persuaded even more as I speak that Nigeria is a special nation because it's the most populous black nation on the earth. That is you and me. To whom God has given light, we have a responsibility to let our light so shine. Are you getting my point? That men will run and say, where is it happening? It is here. I've heard men prophesy. This man, I've never forgotten the prophecy that was reported from his mouth indirectly, one that I heard, by Elton. Those of you who know enough of Nigerian gospel history, you have heard his name. Why did Pastor Elton leave his country, a white man, to come to Africa, to Nigeria? He said he saw in a vision that this is a special nation that God is going to use. So he left his country, lived here, and died here, and birthed most of the big names in ministry you know in Nigeria. All the Magbishop Benson in Dawsa, E. Adeboye, W.F. Kumoye, none of them existed that man did not touch. That is, he saw that indeed the blood of Jesus is being poured upon the black man. And God can't pour it anywhere else but where they have gathered in the largest number. Are you getting my point? That is why I consider myself and I consider you especially privileged to be alive in a time like this. Recently, something happened and it made me happy. A Mexican overtook Bill Gates as the richest man in the world. Say he's a Mexican. I said, very good. I was very happy. I was very, very happy. I was happy because, you see, at least that shows you that things can move. Don't think wealth is the birthright of the American alone. In fact, the American became wealthy because his founding fathers were Puritans. His founding fathers were what? rich Christians, that is, in spirits, they were rich people. So what you are discovering materially now is a manifestation of a spiritual blessedness of generations past. You are getting the point I'm making? So I know for sure that now that we are receiving the gospel, that's why, listen, I owe it to my children to serve God. They will never struggle in life, not because they are too wise or too smart, but because their father pleased God. That's all. I have said it again and again, and I'll say it again. I don't consider it an advantage. Say, let me deliver my children in America or London or Australia or whatever. I give them an opportunity. The only opportunity they need is that I keep on serving God. I keep on serving God. Because if a man is blessed, his blessing passes over to his seed, and his seed's seed. Everywhere they go, they will be blessed. I said it yesterday and I prophesied again. By the age of 25, my son will be controlling multi-billion dollar companies. By the age of 25, I know, because Solomon was a king as a teenager, because his father taught him. Yes, that's right. Go and read Proverbs. You say, while I was young, my father will say. While I was young, my father will say. If you can rule Israel, you can pastor ExxonMobil. No, I'm telling you. If you can rule Israel, you can pastor Toyota, the world's number one selling car brand. If you can rule a nation as a teenager, there is nothing you can do. People used to gather to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Therefore, I owe it to my children to serve God. I owe it to my children to do what? To serve God. That is what they need. If I please God, God will bless them for my sake. Solomon will sin. His sons will sin. And God will say, were you not for David your father? The blessing on David, it kept on. Look, generations after, they said they all did this, but God left Jerusalem and Judah because of the mercies that he showed to David. Ha. Listen. In my life, I will please God. Even if he didn't bless me personally, at least I know he will bless my children. When they want to introduce them, they say, this is Akelu. He is the son of Banky. That is a good name. The Bible says better than riches. It's a name. So when you want to describe, you say, you don't know his father. They would, okay. That's a good. It doesn't matter whether at that time I just take a chopper. Right past you, you get my point, bicycle. You won't notice. Only just say, this blessed man, this is his father. Then I'm indeed very blessed. Are you getting my point? What have I tried to say, explain so far? That is, God is showcasing what Jesus has done through you. You. Don't turn yourself to a beggar. No, not at all. You're not a beggar. You have, I like the story this man told at Cole. He said he doesn't know whether it really happened or not. But there's a story like this. About the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That at the point in time, Jesus, after his resurrection, got down to heaven, and the angels were very glad. Say, finally, everything has been solved. Satan has been taken care of, sin and everything. So he said, the world is not a good place. He said, not yet. He said, what is the problem? He said, it will take time. Why? Okay, what are you going to do about it? I said, no problem. I have left 12 men who will now spread this fragrance all over the world. So the angels looked and said, what? Is that not risky? He said, what if they fail? He answered and said, I have no other plan. No plan B. That is, a Christian must succeed. He must do well in life. He must succeed, because the only proof that Jesus rose from the dead is you. When they say, Paul, are you sure you're an apostle? He said, ask yourself, how did I get here? If Paul is not an apostle, he said, you are the proof of my apostleship. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, what am I going to explain? That is, we have described these things, but listen, it's not by struggle. If God so desires, one day he will make you the richest man in the world. For whatever reason he wants to give you that title, he can do it. He said, the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom of men to whosoever he wishes and sets upon it the lowliest of men. Saul looked at Samuel looked at Saul and said, "Were you not small in your own eyes? Yet God made you." When David danced before the ark, they said, "Why are you dancing uselessly?" He said, "It was before God who made me king in place of your father. That is, I was a shepherd boy." So God, look, God can do it. That one is, it's an easy thing. The question is, what do you need to do to get there? Let me tell you. Let me paint this picture again. There are biblical stories, they are very correct stories. David could never have prayed for Samuel to come to his hometown. It didn't cross his mind. Are you getting my point? If Joseph had a prayer point, it is for deliverance and to go back home. Ah, it's true now. Say, "God, you will clear my name. You will clear my name. You know I didn't do it. In Jesus' name, they will release me from here and I will be united to my father in Jesus' name." In Jesus, some of the prayers that God has not yet answered is because they are too small for him to answer. Are you getting my point? Go ahead, Isaiah, I think 45 or 49. He said, "I cried and said, I have labored in vain." God says, "It's a small thing that you're asking for, that you speak to Israel." He said, "I'm going to make you speak to the whole world." And you get what I'm going to say? That is, a man could not have prayed what happened to him. It happened because God was pleased with him, and then he lifted him to the place that he had prepared ahead of time. That's just the way it works. Are you getting my point? So what is the child of God supposed to do? That's why I'm talking about how Christians get results. Open your Bibles again, Isaiah chapter 55. I read the scripture just now. I said you should open to it. I didn't read it, right? Okay, let me read it now. Okay, let me just refer to it. I don't have closed it. Proverbs chapter 13. You can open the 55, put something there, all right? And then go back to that Proverbs chapter 13. But what I want to say there is brief, actually. It's a good understanding produces favor. He said, but the way of the treacherous is hard. Let me explain that. When you talk about favor in the Bible, it's close to, in fact, sometimes used interchangeably with the word grace. That is for things to run smoothly. Let me explain. Let's assume it's 9 p.m. here, and you want to use this hall. It was empty before you came. Now, the hall has a lot of light. All right? And either the gen is on or the public supply is on. NEPA is functioning well. And you enter into the hall. And the place is dark. There are many ways people respond to that. One is, "What's wrong with this presidential people safe? After all, we paid. Did you not say we should pay? Did you not pay? Yeah, where's the receipt? This is the receipt. We paid. Yeah, the place is very dark. Oh, what are we going to do? And the manager has gone home. It's 9 p.m. Tomorrow morning, you file a case in court, asking them to refund our money because the hall is dark. Are you following the point? Or maybe you are not that kind of person. Or even maybe you are. You have to do something. So you go and say, "Oh yeah, go and bring the generator." They go and wheel down a 7.5 kVA. You start stringing wires and bulbs. That is a hard life. Are you getting my point? If you are simply asked, they say, "Oh, as soon as you enter, there's a switch on the right. Pull it down." Do you follow the point? That is what? Good understanding. What it has given you is favor. Are you following the point I'm making? That's why I said at the beginning that a lot of our struggles is a struggle of a cursed person. Things are not working. There are no bulbs. The light is not, NEPA is not on. So we are struggling, and somebody now writes a book, How to Light Up a Hall Effectively at 9 p.m. after you have paid the hotel for using their hall. Bring a Lister, 7.5 kVA. Go and buy original cable, Nigeria cable and wire. String it around the hall. Make sure you get original Philips or tungsten bulbs. And the fat book sells 1 million copies because people want to light up their house. And God said, "You know the problem? You went to a hotel that doesn't have lights normally. Why don't you let us wire your life with light? And then we'll tell you where to press the switch and everything will be okay." That is how a Christian gets results compared to that an unbeliever gets. That's how an unbeliever struggles against the curse of Noah. Networking. Are you hearing my point? Waking up very early and going to bed late at night. Check your Bible. Who is it that networks to be stepped up in life? Usually when they have been stepped up, people network with them. All these men of David. How do you think David found them? David said, "Please, I'm going to be king. Come and help me now." No, they came. I said, "Good morning, sir. We heard that you have been anointed king. This is my sword. This sword can kill 300 people in 5 minutes. Just point in one direction and they are all dead." David will say, good, stay on that side. Another one will come. He said, me and my brothers. See this thing? We hear say you sling. But let me show you how we do. We is hair breadth. We sling with the right and with the left. Tell us who to sling right now. David said, fine, you guys stay on that side. The David sitting down, another group comes. He said, okay, if we shoot this arrow at the star may just come down. And not only me and all my brothers. David said, okay, stay here. That was how David amassed a great army. Why? Because the blessing of God was upon him. Oh, this good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. You are not yet blessed. Can you help me, sir? Can you help me, sir? You are not yet blessed. Believe me. In fact, some of the disappointment is so that God will make you understand that without him, you are not going anywhere. But once you are with him, people will be the one coming to you. Please, this thing, just the way it is. If you are a child of God, this is what you must expect. Look, when you wake up in the morning, say, today, Lord, I am not a beggar. I'm a diligent worker and a giver. Give me a job, God, I will do it. You know, the problem with people is covetousness. Covetousness. So say, there's no work, there's no work. I say, it's not true. It's not true. Who can tell you? Who told me there's no work? Let me tell myself as a preacher. I'm not preaching because there are no open doors. It's not true. If they don't open doors for you, you know what you do? Open one for yourself. Your friends say, tomorrow is my birthday. Say, we should have a special fellowship without your birthday. Don't you think so? Then gather three people and preach the life of God to them. It's true. No, it's true. When you see a group of people maybe on campus, they're trying to start a small fellowship, you don't have to join them. Just say, you guys are trying to start. Oh, well, let me help you guys a bit. I'll preach for you 2 days, you know. It will be good. I'm very good preacher. They'll be happy. You are waiting for a big honorarium. That's why you are waiting for open door, open door, open door. If you really wanted to preach, you preach to anybody. In the same manner, if you say there's no, it's not true. After all, your brother that went to America, ask him how he survived when he got there. It's not the same job I refuse to do here. Is it a lie? Because I have a first class in engineering. Very fine. It's very, very good. Who told you that all these fine, fine cars we are talking about, you think they want people who don't know anything? The cars need brains. If you look, but then you see that in Nigeria. No, you are in front of Celtel, Glow, after that NNPC Shell. Like Pastor Etel was deceiving us just now that when I marry a woman because she works in NNPC, doesn't mean anything. Do you get my point? Because listen, you can create your next NNPC. Look, God is my witness, I'm not sweet talking. You know, I want to live long. I'm forbidden to sweet talk on the pulpit. God kills preachers who do it early. I don't do it. One of the young men I'm proud of the most, he sent me a text I refuse to delete. He said, sir, one day you came to our school to preach and said many people listening to me here are going to build things bigger than ExxonMobil. He said, I'm going for this. That's what I'm going for, sir. That's what he told. And I believe him. I believe him. I have reasons for believing him. That is all his target. Is that we build. It's not get a job. It's build. He has a job right now. I'm not saying he doesn't. Anytime people tell me, somebody was telling me yesterday, look, this is what I want to do. I want to do this. Anytime I go to places, I see this don't work. I want to do this one in my mind. God bless you, increase you, give you vision, give you strength. Because one day, a Nissan Armada will drive past. And they say, oh, that's a fine car. You say, some of my middle level managers, that is official car. No, that's a blessed man. As I did so, except you're a small boy, I don't take testimonies of praise God. I just got a new job. It's not a bad thing. My brother got a job. I praise God for him. But it's for now. A time will come that what I want to hear is praise God. I just had my 60th employee. That's testimony. I don't care whether you took Okada to come and tell me that. I don't care. He said, Pastor, good morning, sir. I just want to let you know that our office have opened and today we service the 1,000, how do they say that in English? 1,000 TH, you know? 1,000 debts, Abby, is it correct? The 1,000th customer. Very good. Are you getting my point? That's that's a man that is blessed. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Or how do you get it? That's what I'm saying. You know, that's what I said we are trying to explain. That is not by struggle, by saying, okay, this is how we do it. No. No, you can't get there like that. There is a way God expects the believer to get results. But get this in mind first. Number one is that those results, you won't get them. God will give them to you. That is, there is no place you want to step to in life that God has not created already. He's just looking for who to give them to. You know Nebuchadnezzar, you know his problem that he had with God? He said, is this not Babylon the Great that I built with the strength of my mind for the glory of my majesty? God said, where? How? You built Babylon the Great with the strength of your arm for the glory of your majesty? Are you mad? It's all right. I will show you that you are mad. I said, those are madness. Tua! The guy began crawl for again. So 7 years, kick him out. That God made him mad. You've heard me say that before. It's not an issue. Because even small DBAs in villages, they run people mental. It's true. Any small occultist can make a man crazy. In fact, this is just like the way a woman can do it to a man said. You're running mental small like that. It's not hard. I am telling you. It almost happened to you. You are a witness. No, tell them. I'm like, right now, you will see. You better. You need. No, bros, you never chose a woman before. The one you really liked. Let me tell you what did I understood this revelation. Personal experience. One day I came all the way to Benin. To come and see this woman that have married and given belle several times now. And then there was something she did. She just left me stranded, you know, like, hey, have you come? Okay, I'm coming. The program started at 8. Now, my brother, that's why I wait. Wait. I remember very well. I was strolling on the road. And I said, God is my witness. I'm not joking. I said, God, so this is how people go mad. I said it. I'm telling you, I said, so this is how it will happen. A lot of people you see on the road, there's nothing, it's not in their family, it's not. It's not, oh God, believe me, I know what I'm saying. It's not in their family. He says, it's in the genes. When life worries you, you will know that madness is not in the genes. Economic hardship can make a man mental. There's a man walking on the road. He's not a sheep. The first time he walked naked, he didn't have trousers. He got used to it. But that's by the way. No, I'm telling you. I've seen people who come mad, and I know their history. I say, this guy is not mad. Or the one I'm thinking of is a lady. It was when, after spending years in Europe, going to school, just before she finished school, they deported her. She went mental. Started sleeping outside the embassy. Say, if you don't give me visa to go back to that place, I won't live here. That's how it began. Next thing you know, it was frank madness. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to our message, Joe. So Nebuchadnezzar, that God made him mad was not the issue. Anyone you love can do that to you, so leave that one. The issue was that after he was away for 7 years, the kingdom was preserved. And when he returned to sanity, they gave it back to him. He said, now I praise the God of the heavens. That is, he's indeed the one that rules in the affairs of men and gives his kingdom to whosoever he wishes and sets upon it the lowliest of men. After that, the man, no bragging against God. So, next time he sees Babylon, he said, this is a great city which the Lord has given to me. And he keep on trucking. No, I'm telling you, that's the way it works. And that's one thing you must understand. Do you have a dream? Look, please, I want you to tear away from this a great job dream. No. Great jobs is servants of servants. No matter how much you are paid, your boss is the head, you are the tail. Yes, sir. You can confess all you like. I am the head. The boss is the head. He that pays the piper dictates the tune. Even if the man paying is an unbeliever and the man being paid is a man of God. You know, the dog wags his tail. No, so the boss can wag you. You know that. Say, I'm going on leave. I'm going on leave. Praise God. My wife and I were going on leave. Then the day before, he said, you are hereby recalled. You know, you are recalled. I mean, I work in for the federal government. I work in the university. In your leave, you see it's written there. Leave a leave address. You know the meaning of leave address? When we want to, we know where to find you. Halfway through your leave, as it's in the suite, God go call, come. That's called wagging. You wag, you tow and flow. Oh, man, I'm not saying you shouldn't take, no, no. You know, I earn a salary right now. I'm saying your vision, that's what I'm talking about. Because it's and here the Bible says, while he's yet a child, does not differ from a servant. But at least he knows that he'll soon become the inheritor of all things. So you must have a vision of inheriting. That's what I'm saying. So do you have a dream? Think about what is that thing you want to accomplish. Please, don't ask for anything. Don't dream of anything that you can do yourself, because if you can, you don't need God. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, somebody explained that to me. Do you know what it means? He didn't say if you ask anything, he said in my name, that this must be something that you need my name to do. If it's just like, if you know, if I needed 2,000 naira now, I won't pray. I won't even check my pocket. I'll just walk. Hey, PK, come, I beg. I need 2K. How much can you supply? Even if he didn't have, he'll be afraid to tell me not get anything. It's not 100 naira. He'll give me by with joy and rejoicing. They shift. Pastor, tell Abba, your shoes are too fine. Come on, you should have money there. Come. The guy will drop. By the time I talk to 3 people here, I have 2K. Hello. Senior brothers have done this. We just say, hey, banky, come. Nothing in my pocket. I mean, and you know the man, it's not as if he's begging for money. This is a big man. Just right there, he's dry. Anybody can get dry. I said, bank, you get anything? I did my hand for pocket. How much? Okay, give me 2,000. It's okay. Here, sir. Take. Put the rest back for pocket. So that is not asking in my name. You get my point? Those are issues that we can solve. But I believed God and I received in my spirit 12 billion naira to do the work of the gospel. I had better ask in the name of Jesus Christ. I have to. Because no matter who I talk to, nobody, come on, listen. 12 billion naira is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. If grace doesn't bring it to you, you won't get it as a preacher. You will not. One day, we were talking, my wife said, what exactly is this 1 billion again? Now, for your information, my wife has a BSc in accounting, worked in a bank, and she has an MBA in banking and finance. So she should be able to count. What do you think? Yet, we said it, so we said, look, exactly what is 1 billion again? I said, it is 1,000 times. That is, if you start eating and don't walk again, and you start driving all kinds of cars, you will not finish it in a lifetime. It's a lot of money. But you require such monies to preach the gospel. About $300,000 or $500,000 is what Paul Crouch pays every day to keep TBN shining. Now, you see what I'm talking about? It's not small money. When you see them doing praise at tongues, they sell your head, bring the money. It's not, they know the reason why they are selling you. On ABC Network in America, 1 minute advert is $1 million. One day they asked Ben Hinn, why do you ask for money? Jesus never asked for money. He said Jesus never paid bills. No, he said, when I rent Madison Square Garden, he said it, I pay the same amount as Michael Jackson. I don't charge you, Michael Jackson charges you. He told them, no, this was from Larry King Live. They said, Jesus never asked for money. He said, listen, he didn't pay bills like I pay. He, by the hillside, he will rent a boat. Me? I enter your stadium. I pay. You don't care whether I'm preaching the gospel or Michael Jackson the one singing. You collect the same amount of money. Don't ask me why I'm asking anybody for money. It's none of your business. What am I going to say? To preach the gospel effectively is not cheap. So as a preacher, I have seen that. My life must count in the preaching of this gospel. To have learned to ask in the name of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? My dream is not for 100,000 naira projects that we can all gather and drop 10 naira. My own is, God, if you don't supply, it will not be done. Therefore, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you following what I'm going to say? So do you have a dream like that? If you don't, be at to start cultivating it. What, look, if you, you know, like in Enugu now, there are a lot of small hotels everywhere. In Abuja, all over Nigeria. I see the one in Lagos the other day, it's just a big house. The rooms didn't have numbers, they had names. They call one sapphire, one diamond, the other one ruby, one gold, silver. So each one had his own price. So maybe you like that kind of business. When you pass by, what they call, Transcorp Hilton, don't think it is impossible. Don't let the small 12-room hotels in your city deceive you into thinking that's all God wants to do in your life. Are you getting my point? You like transportation, now you have 4 buses giving you money every day. Please, it is not godly to say, what else is a man looking for? With your 4 buses, you can't give me 100 million naira to preach the gospel, can you? When you see a 777 packed, take a photograph of it and put it on your wall. For your information, the price of one Airbus A380 is $550 million. One. People think Nigeria uses old aircraft. No, not their fault. If you know the price of new one, you too, why are you driving old car? You get a reason, no reason. The price of a brand, this new series jumbo that they are building, one is $550 million. Please don't think about it in Naira. You may become unconscious. I know what I'm saying. But this is how to ask in the name of Jesus. You have your buses. You look at it. You say, Lord, this is just a big flying bus. After they call it air bus. If I can have a ground bus, I can also have an air bus. In the name of Jesus, I ask for one. I'm telling you, this is key number one to Christians getting results. You receive a vision from God and ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, it is not by phoning Bill Gates. Are you ready to invest in our business? No. Let me tell you the truth. This is how spiritual things manifest physically. This is how God does it. You know, the resources on earth, they are not equally shared. You know why? It's not because our stomachs are not equal. Our stomachs are basically equal. The reason is our ability to handle resources, they are not equal. So God has made some people, let me use my own words now, taken from the Bible, principalities and powers of economic empowerment. Some of them are not Christians. You say, but Pastor, what do you mean? The reason that God doesn't give things to people because they are his children, he gives things to them because they are his servants. They do what he likes. What did the prodigal son say? He said, the servants in my father's house are eating better than me. So being a son is not an issue. It's whether you are inside the father's house serving. I read this. Olayinka gave me a book. The story, biography of Pat Robertson. Then he lit something there about Billy Graham. And I said, wow. You will understand what I'm saying in a moment. Billy Graham is right now, nobody has stopped him in the world, the world's most renowned preacher. He's respected everybody, including his opponents. They love him. He has preached to queens, prime ministers. Winston Churchill sent for him. At the end, he said, sir, remember, this is a secret discussion. He said, I know. And he never told anybody until recently. Nobody knew he was there preaching to Winston Churchill. Are you getting my point? You see a communist country, China. Billy Graham will come and their prime minister will say, welcome, sir. Now, that shows you that is God giving somebody a kingdom. Are you getting my point? But how did it happen? Pastor Besson once, somebody took him to go and listen to Billy Graham. He is he's a person in the circles, you know. His father was a senator, he was a lawyer. And so he knew people. He listened to Billy Graham once, shortly before that, he had gotten born again. And was making all the mistakes of a young man with zeal. Alright? He was doing that at that point in time. So when he heard Billy Graham preach, he was so touched, he picked up his phone and phoned, I think, Rupert Murdoch. The principality of the media in America. He owned the major, that is 90% of the newspaper circulating were his own. He phoned him and said, "Sir, I think there is somebody you should listen to." Rupert Murdoch didn't answer him, like, "Stop disturbing me." He hassled Rupert Murdoch until Rupert Murdoch decided, if I'm making a mistake on the name, I think it's Rupert Murdoch, correct me if I am wrong. Am I right? Those who know. Anyway, but I'm not very sure now. Anyway, he harassed this man until the man finally agreed to tune in once or go to where Billy Graham was preaching. And as soon as he heard Billy Graham, he picked his phone and phoned his chief editor and said two words, "Pump Graham." You hear what I said? He just told him, "Pump Graham." You know what that meant? Listen, everywhere Graham went, they wrote a story about him. Everywhere he preached, it was in the newspapers. They put his photo on their papers almost every day until every household in America knew who Graham was. You think it's a matter of chance or just the spirit gathering people that Graham will come to a city and the stadium will be full? They had been reading of Graham. Look, listen, listen. Do you look, if they say Snoop Doggy Dogg is coming to town, the place will be full, including those who don't listen to his music. Why? Because you have heard the name again and again and again. Right now, even Pastor Banky is mentioning it. Do you get my point? What I want to explain is that God committed that power into one man. I don't know whether he's a believer or not. Most likely he is. But the day God wanted to raise Billy Graham to prominence, he just told the man, "Call that man." That one calls him. Look at Billy Graham. He looked and he told his editors, "From now on, that means no, if you write a bad story about him, you're fired." Life is not fair, my brother, my sister. That is a matter of fact. You can't change it. Life has never been fair. It has never been fair. It won't become fair in your own time. You better pray that the unfairness of life is on your side, not against you. There are those who have preached. Billy Graham doesn't speak in tongues. He doesn't lay hands on the sick. There are those who have preached, they have prayed, they have groaned, they have interceded. They have laid hands on the sick. And bros, they are dead. You never heard about them. But you know those who don't understand. They say, okay, now, the secret to effective ministry is not the right media people. Listen, the first time they put your face on the newspaper, the next day, you'll be an adulterer. I know what I am saying, no. This same thing is a spiritual force. You think it is with clear eye that Whitney Houston started smoking cocaine? You think that if I'm the one, who you Whitney Houston, with all the millions and millions of dollars he has, me, I will never smoke cocaine. You are joking. You, now LSD. Where do you think this famous will go mental? Now, what I'm going to say is this. You think that fame, they give it to one small preacher, one man of God. He comes to Enugu a lot. Last time he came, I went to visit with him. My wife and I went to see him in the hotel. And we spent hours. He has birthed men. That is, people who came from under him, all right? They are big ministers. He said once he went to Kenya. And he did big, meetings. And, oh God, Nigeria, they export gospel. We have the gospel. Everywhere was shaking. So when he was leaving, one of the men that went with him said, "Can I stay behind, sir?" He said, "No problem." He blessed the young man and introduced him around. And that one too took off from where he stopped. And everything was moving. In, I think, a year or two, he had a church of like 5,000 people. He said, "When people want to give offering there, in a motor car, they just drop their car. Look, number, money, everything was there." The whole thing didn't last 4 years. The guy couldn't carry the weight of glory. The word glory in Greek is doxa. It means weight. If God blesses you too much, you will fall down. You will crumble under it. So when he lifted Graham, Graham was ready. Are you getting my point? When he lifted Graham, what happened? Graham was ready. Graham was able to take the blessing. The first time financial matters was mentioned about him, he didn't do anything bad. Some funny news about just to photograph of him, because then the way Americans used to do is that maybe if a preacher finishes preaching like this, all right, the money you give the preacher is taken right there and then as an offering. After I had preached for weeks, so the final day, they said, okay, let us bless this man who has blessed us so much. So people gave a lot of money. And the money being cash, they put it inside bags. As they were taking the bags out of the hall, somebody photographed it and put it in the newspaper. That, see this preacher, look at all the money he's collecting. You know, they took it out of context. And it hurt him personally so bad. After that, he stopped people taking offerings for him. And he put himself on a decent salary on the ministry. And that's it. When he writes books, he doesn't even take the royalties. It doesn't mean the man was poor. The man was, in fact, he didn't need money. It's like Archbishop Benson Dawson used to say, twice they dashed him jet. Say, Oga, take, this jet is your own. He said, thank you very much. And he looked around and said, I think this man will prefer it. He gave another person. You know his reason? He said, there's nowhere I go that I pay my own fare ticket. Not one. So what am I doing with it? He said, my itinerary is not so bad. There's nowhere he goes without his fare not being paid by somebody. That people always sent him his first class ticket before he takes off. So he said, what is my problem with maintaining a plane? So he look around for somebody else that needs it and say, you, take. Are you getting what I say? That is, the man had the character to take the glory when it came. That takes me to the next thing. First, I said, number one thing, you receive a vision that only God can effect, and then you ask him for it. Then number two, you prepare for it. Let me read this scripture, and I begin to use that one to round up. Isaiah chapter 55. Okay, I said you should open to it earlier. It said, verse 9, from 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There's something I want to bring up from here. What God was saying is this, and I'll explain that briefly. Let me just rush through because of my time now. It's really running. Now, God has a mind about something. He has an attitude. In fact, there was something that Paul said. I think we should quickly read that also. Philippians chapter 3. Quickly open to Philippians chapter 3. If you see from verse 13, it said, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Actually, it's 15 I really wanted to start from. He said, let us therefore, as many as are perfect or mature, have this attitude. And notice the next line. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. He said, however, in 16, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. What was he trying to say? He had explained something from the beginning about what it means to lay down something to achieve something higher than what you had before. Are you getting the point there? So he now said that there are different spheres in life. He said there is an attitude you have for each aspect of life. Are you getting the point? He now said if you have this attitude in an area, check other areas. And if there's any other area, if there's any area in which you have a different attitude, he said, then God will reveal that to you. What am I trying to say? That in each aspect of life, we have attitudes. Do you get my point? In each aspect of life, we have what? Attitudes. Now, this is the point. God said, my ways are higher than yours. That is, in that aspect of life, there is a way, there is an attitude that God wants you to have. And once you have that attitude, grace is released and result begins to pour forth. Let me say something to you quickly. Take marriage as an example. Most people have a very nonsensical attitude about marriage. If you're not a believer, you'll get a husband easy. But if you are and you have a bad attitude, life becomes hard. The way of the transgressor, he said, is hard. Good understanding, what does it do for you? You get God's attitude. Then in your spirit, now this is how life is. I was going to explain that earlier. This life you are seeing, is controlled by spiritual forces. It's controlled by what? Spiritual forces. When the tsunami hit in Indonesia, this young man who I told you said that there was something I said that he's going for, he sent me a text or an email. He said when the tsunami hit, that there was a statement I made a few years before that he remembered. And he quoted it for me. Do you know I couldn't remember saying it? That I said this Indonesia people, that when God will judge them, they will be surprised. There was something that happened. Do you know I didn't remember saying it. So when the tsunami hits, the guy just sent me a mail quickly. Say, sir, what you said has come. Now, I didn't speak as a prophet. I didn't even know anything was going to happen to them. Certain things just happened, and I felt that these people, when God will come for you, you go surprise them. What am I going to say? The tsunami was not an accident. It was a spiritual force that drew the tsunami forces into that place. Go and read Leviticus chapter 18. God said that, look, all this immorality that you people are doing in this place. He said, no, he said, these people are doing it. Therefore, I'm kicking them out. He said, the land has become polluted and it has vomited up the inhabitants. And he said, if you do the same thing, the land will be polluted again. Then you get my point? Vomiting, if you go and study physiology, medicine, it's a defense that the body has against pollution. He said, when you start polluting the land, it vomits you. That is the earth response to the spiritual forces coming out from the inside of the people. God said, because of you, these heavens withheld its rain. Are you getting my point? Listen, in your individual lives, you are generating spiritual forces. And it's either attracting good towards you or repelling it from you. And this is how you make sure it attracts good to you. You get the attitude of God in every situation. Are you getting my point? Listen, before the children of Israel took over the promised land, who kept it? People that God did not like. There are many sinning unbelievers holding things for God because God doesn't have anybody else to give it to. Some of you think that, there are no Christians who can be president. Listen, if you're a president, you're not a pastor. I hope you know that. I like what T.D. Jakes said. He said a pastor is the pastor of Christians alone. A president is the president over Christians, Muslims, Hindus, all kinds of people. Terrorists, sinners, prisoners, everybody is your subject. Believe me, most good people cannot be president. They don't know it. God always chooses the best he can find. Before David, Saul was the best option in Israel. As useless as he turned out to be, he was the best option. You want good things to come your way, you must present yourself as a better option. Because in life, God, this is how it goes. He first pulls one down before he lifts up another. And God doesn't pull one down until the replacement is nearby. Listen, if all the filling stations in town are crooked, as an example, God won't close them down. Do you know why? You have to drive. If they say for 20 liters, you get only 16 and you pay for 20, it's still better than nothing. No, be so. But then the day God begins to close people down, when you open three different stations and God says, this is enough to save the town and your own pumps are not rigged. Then God said, time for judgment. Because if I judge these people, the people now have an alternative. Are you following my point? You will build a hotel and you say, this one, sir, is not a harlot house. And God will close all the harlot houses. Are you following my point? God is concerned about the progress of a nation. Another thing, enough Christians never open eye. Because God will make some people governor. They won't do better than the governors before them. Listen, when you have great visions and you take what I call the vow of poverty, that is, when you are going to, if the day you can boldly stand and say, God, I swear, if I earn 1 naira beyond what I'm worth today when I leave office, I will give every dime out to charities and ministries and all of that. Then you step into office. Listen, I'm telling you, the next election, you're a governor. When you can do, you know, most Christians still cannot taste power and not get money. Hey, forget this one we are doing in church. Listen, the truth is, give them power. They could take and collect money. I know what I'm saying. Listen, now, you two remember, you heard that somewhere recently. Did you not see, this is an opportunity? Think, no, don't say it out. You just in your heart. Let God judge you. Look, it's good we tell ourselves the truth. Because those are the things God is waiting for. Before he brings great grace to bring great results into your life. Have you learned anything this morning? If so, let's rise to our feet and begin to give the Lord thanks. There are a number of prayer points I just want to give you as I step down. Number one, for those who don't have a vision that can only be actualized in the name of Jesus Christ, I think you have to pray for one. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, many people have visions that can be actualized in the name of my daddy. You know what I mean? My father knows people. Many people have visions that can be actualized in the name of their degrees from school. With this second class upper or first class, if I go here and go here and go here, and I do this and do this, that is not a God-given one yet. Because it can be actualized by what you have already. But ask God, what is that one that I need you and you alone to accomplish? Reveal it to me. He might not do it immediately, but then your heart at least is now open. It's an important prayer point. The number two prayer is simple. Lord, what is the wrong attitude I have in the crucial and vital areas of life? Reveal it to me that I might confess it to you, that I might be renewed in that. Because without that, the grace, the glory of God will not be revealed in your life. Two prayer points. Let's begin to pray. If you do not have a vision that only God can fulfill, you need to pray that, God, what is my own vision for life that only you can fulfill? Then number two, so there are areas in life which I know I don't have the right attitude. Reveal that to me also that I might confess it out of my life. You understand it now? Let's begin to pray.